Welcome back, everyone. Another week of no F1, but another week of us drawing blood from a stone. So stick around, because it actually is interesting. We've got a lot to go through, and I think most interestingly, what we're going to go through is probably the comments from our previous video, which seemingly got picked up by the Argentina Massive, who are, you know, passionate Colapinto fans.
You're hated.
And yeah, they seem to despise my guts, so but we will talk all about that, because, you know, I want to talk it out like adults. Mm-hmm. I want to get my point across. I understand you're passionate, emotional fans, so yeah, maybe we should have a conversation. So if you are still coming for a generational hate watch, please just wait, and we'll hash it all out. We can have it out, and I'm sure we can walk away from this the best of friends. But if you are here for whatever reason, please do give us a 5-star rating. If you're listening to us, if you are watching us on YouTube, welcome. But make sure you subscribe, like, and comment down below. The comments are the most valuable thing, even if you are calling us stupid or whatever. I mean, I'd rather them be nice, but I can live with a hurtful comment, so long as you are commenting. You are better than the non-commenters. So, yeah, I'm not going to bore you too much. We're going to crack on now, but please make sure you follow all those vital instructions. 5-star rating. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Just search Racecast. We will come up, because we are pretty much the only Racecast around. So,
we are. Well done. Yeah, welcome along, everyone. Yeah, so before we get on to talking about how much everyone hates Luke. Just want to talk. So it's interesting. So we spoke a few weeks ago about what our potential plans are, what we're going to be doing. They're still up in the air with certain things. However, last week, well, actually Friday, we went to get some photos taken, didn't we?
Yeah, we
upgraded
have
some photos, some more artwork, which will hopefully you will see over the next few weeks. But it's awkward. I just wanted to touch on it, because I don't know about you guys, but whenever you're having someone take a photo of you, I just find it so awkward. You're so photogenic that it just irritates me. Like, oh, Luke, it's your turn to take some photos. There you go in, and you're like, okay, he's absolutely smashed that.
The thing is, though, is I think you always think that about other people, like anyone but yourself. So I think if you're seeing photos of yourself, like, I don't look at photos and I'm like, wow, I am photogenic. Like, I look at them and think, oh, God, what is that? So I think it's easy. It's just that, you know, it's like hearing the sound of your own voice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I cannot believe I sound like that. But you do.
Yeah.
But it is awkward. I mean, you know, essentially you go in a room and you're just posing. You don't necessarily know what you're posing for, and it's like, what the actual fuck am I doing?
Do it with your arms crossed, smile, serious, and you're like, well, it's all over the place. But anyway, you will see those hopefully over the next few weeks. Shout out to Paul as well for doing the photos. What a legend! Right, so let's get into some comments, which, you know, Luke upset a few people last week on the episode. So
some people don't like the truth. That's all I'm going to say.
So this one is from Love Songs For Me. Okay. This is, he commented on the video. Guys, if you keep on talking like that, you will not have much subscribers or likes whatsoever.
Well, the joke is on you, buddy, because we actually gained subscribers off that video. It might not have been a lot.
He did say, it's just a fact. Colapinto is a star and the other rookies are mediocre. Briatore has seen this from the beginning. Okay. There's that comment.
He's seen it from the beginning.
Apparently so.
He's only been in for a year, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. Right.
No, there's plenty of comments here. There is plenty of comments, and I will give my feedback. I think a lot of people were speaking from like pure emotion rather than common sense.
You were like this, okay. Franco crashed 4 times in the 9 races. Baku, Brazil, and Las Vegas. 50% of the times in the wall. Check your maths.
Yes, okay. So if you don't know what is being said here, I basically said Colapinto crashed probably like 50% of the times. And then I'm being called out for the fact that I said 50% when it was 4 out of 9, which I actually replied to this.
But I didn't see this. I didn't really... Yeah. I didn't see this. In our defence, 4 out of 9 times is 44%, but I agree. Franco lit up the grid and I was great. Was a great personality to have in the sport.
It's like people thought, right, that what I was saying was like an attack on Colapinto, as if I haven't spoken so highly of him for so long. And this is like, if you take everything at face value, you hear one thing and you react like this, you know, I'm not the stupid one. I'm not gonna carry on that sentence, but I think you can get what, you can understand what I'm getting at, right? The point is, right, is we have spoken so highly of Colapinto, right? My point wasn't Colapinto doesn't deserve a seat in F1. Like, what the hell are they doing? That's ridiculous. It was a thought about, actually, has he done enough to warrant what we understand to be a 5-year contract?
Yep.
As a reserve driver, okay, he's not going to be reserve driver. Look, the target is on Jack Doohan's back. A lot of people also seem to get confused as if I was saying, like, Jack Doohan was better than Colapinto. Also, not what I was saying. Like, I personally don't think Jack Doohan is going to make the cut. Do I think... If I was team principal, who am I putting in my seat, right? Franco Colapinto. All day long. That's fine, right? Yeah. My point is circumstantially, it's ridiculous that they've put him in a seat as a rookie, his first ever time in F1, and then they've brought Colapinto on, knowing full well that they're just going to put him in, like, a few races in. And my point is like, people are like, oh, it's a sport business, not a charity. Okay. But, like, everyone is still a human being in this, right? And I think that is just a terrible way to treat Jack Doohan. And I saw someone comment about, I think they just felt pressured to take Jack Doohan. And
I saw that.
Well, then, I'm not being funny. All these, like, comments, like, blowing smoke up Briatore's arse, are irrelevant anyway. Like, if he panics, Colapinto could be a panic buy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so this is my point. I thought we put across a very rational argument of, well, actually, let's look at the facts. When Alex Albon was at Red Bull, it was largely spoken about that he's not good enough, right? He comes down to Williams, everyone's like, wow, look at him, right? But let's not forget, he's not good enough, right? He's not good enough to do it against Max Verstappen at the very top.
And also, he was going up against Logan Sargeant.
Yeah. Colapinto comes in, he doesn't wipe the floor with Albon at all.
No.
And don't get me wrong, this is where, like, don't get it clouded. I know that Colapinto is just coming into the sport. Give him another year or two. There's every chance he could be better than Alex Albon. But if Alex Albon is the benchmark, how good is that? If he's better than Alex Albon, that doesn't really mean a lot in terms of him being a superstar.
The funny thing is, this clip which we took from last week is actually being posted tomorrow. So we're on Sunday. It's going to be posted tomorrow. I can't wait to see what TikTok says.
Keep it coming. It doesn't bother me. It gets us views.
But I agree. Colapinto, okay, has crashed 44% of the time, not 50% of the time. Some of them weren't his mistakes. He had collisions with Ocon and Piastri, I believe.
True, but sometimes it takes two to tango.
Yep. But it is, you know, our discussion last week was basically saying it's a bit unfair on Jack Doohan. I agree that some people say, yes, it's not a charity, it's not sport. However, Jack Doohan has worked hard enough in this sport to be given an opportunity. And now he's been given the opportunity, he deserves to be at least, you know, settled in and prove himself. Obviously, with the, you know, arrival of Colapinto, we all know, and we said it last week, that is pretty much curtains for Jack Doohan.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say, well, no, it's not. No, it is. They've given him a very, very lengthy contract. They have invested a lot of money in him. They're not going to use him as a reserve driver. So for Colapinto, I think he's done fantastic. When he came in to Williams, we were a bit sceptical.
Everyone was sceptical when Colapinto came in. It was kind of like, what the hell? Like,
yeah. But he did a phenomenal job, you know, and I don't think you could have asked much more of him in his rookie start in F1.
Absolutely.
So we are most definitely not saying Colapinto has done a bad job. We're not saying that in the slightest. We're just saying that actually for Jack Doohan, it is sad that actually he now has this pressure and he's going to be replaced by Colapinto, because any rookie coming into the sport, we want to see them be given a fair opportunity.
It kind of sets him up to fail. And that was the point. It's like he hasn't got he hasn't got like the treatment, say, Logan Sargent got or Ollie Bearman's gonna get. You know, he's getting this brutal treatment of, mate, we've just spent millions on this young hotshot, who we've given a 5-year contract to. I think you know what that means. But, you know, I do think at this point, and I think I said this last week, what I would love to see is Jack Doohan come in and absolutely smash it.
Mm.
Not for any reason, not to do with Colapinto at all. I want to see Colapinto in the sport. I want him in a seat. I want him racing. And personally, I don't want it at the expense of Jack Doohan at the moment. But, like, if we do get halfway through the season and he's been really poor, then look, it's a great business move. Mm. But I would love for him to come in and be unbelievable and then to actually be like, oh shit, we can't do this.
Yeah. No, Colapinto, we said at the end of the season, he deserves to remain in F1. There are seats within on that grid which he could have easily taken.
And everyone wants him in the sport as well because you saw the fans.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've said this, I actually might have said it last week about, you know, South American fans and just how unbelievable they are. And I mean, you saw them in the comments, like, coming to the defense of Colapinto, which, like, I love.
Yeah.
I love that they, like, love a driver so much, but, you know, I don't massively love the insults, but I appreciate it. Like, you know, they're backing their driver.
Well, you've got Bortoleto coming in as well, haven't you?
Exactly. So do you know what I mean? Like we're going to have two South American drivers. It's going to be incredible when we go to Brazil to see that sort of passion reignited.
I'm buzzing for it. But just to clarify, we did not say Colapinto does not deserve to be in the sport. We were basically just saying we would like to see Liam Lawson be given a fair opportunity.
Liam Lawson?
Not Liam Lawson. Jack Doohan, opportunity.
Another thing that we seemingly got cooked for is because we forgot that Piastri was Alpine reserve driver. But that was taken as, oh, we didn't know he was Alpine reserve driver.
Well, we actually said it in last week's podcast.
Yeah, but you know we forgot. Like, or was it me?
You forgot, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you get cooked? I didn't see that.
I was like, oh, how can you not know that? I did know. Have you never forgotten something, ever?
I can't believe you forgot that. That's ridiculous. Right.
If you're going to forget something, I'm allowed to forget it. Do you know how hungover I was last week as well?
To be fair, I haven't seen Luke get this triggered by comments in a long time. So it's normally me. So well done, everyone. Right. Should we get into some bit of F1 news?
Is there any?
Mate, I've done my research. So
okay, strap in, guys.
Seatbelts on. Right, rumours this week have linked Red Bull driver Max Verstappen with a sensational 1 billion switch to Aston Martin for the 2026 season. Firstly, that is just ridiculous amount of money. Secondly,
I assume it would be a $1 billion contract.
Well, yeah, they're not just going to over a period of time, but
and just slip a bill into his pocket.
Obviously, we've discussed in previously that we know that, you know, Lawrence Stroll, he wants that success. He wants that success at Aston Martin. And with reports like this, he's willing to do whatever it takes to get that. He wants those championships. He wants the constructors. He wants the drivers' championships. And he believes Max Verstappen is the only driver on that grid who could take him to the next level. Personally, I see it. I can't really disagree with it. However, my question to you guys as well, if you're bringing in Max Verstappen, who are you getting rid of? We know Fernando Alonso. And this isn't a trick question, by the way. Fernando Alonso has a contract for 2025 and 2026. But we also know Lance Stroll has a contract for indefinitely. So my question to you was, if you're going to bring in Max Verstappen, who do you get rid of? We all think, we both would say Lance Stroll. However,
whoa, don't put words in my mouth.
Okay, who would you get rid of?
Fernando, he's washed, he's lost it. No, I mean, obviously, yeah, you would get rid of Stroll, but I don't think it would be Stroll that goes. But the thing is this is something that we've touched on before, right? Is at what point does Lawrence Stroll toe the line. And he says, he shows all this passion, right, for the team. And he really does. Like, yeah. the investment, the infrastructure, Adrian Newey, the everyone coming over, like, the engineers that they've cherry-picked. Unbelievable, right? And now these rumours coming out about them looking at Max Verstappen. All of these are like, tick, tick, tick. If you're an Aston Martin fan, you're thinking like, oh my God, I cannot believe this. But if you're keeping Lance Stroll, that to me is like, oh, you're kind of half in, half out.
In my opinion, Lawrence Stroll should have made a decision at the end of last season and said, look, we want this success. We know we want Max Verstappen in the future, but that's something which we may happen over the next couple of years. Let's get another driver in. Going back to what we said earlier, Colapinto Pinto could have been a great fit there.
Yeah.
He would have offered more than Lance Stroll. And that's not disrespecting Colapinto, but you have a driver who would come in, be hungry. You do not see that with Lance Stroll. Lance Stroll, as you've said in previous podcasts, probably wants to be a bus driver.
Yeah, I think he just wants the easy life now. You know, he probably wants to hit the slopes. You know, have a nice weekend at home, feet up, watching films. He's probably got a girlfriend. I bet she looks great as well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's probably got this like incredible life. You know, of course, I mean, he's come from like a bunch of stinking cash. Do you know what I mean? But he's also had like, he's actually had like a pretty long F1 career. Mm. I think at this point, if I was Lance Stroll, I would probably look at him and be like, am I ever going to make it? Probably not. Like, he can probably see that he's not good enough. And that's not to say, like, Lance Stroll is far from one of the worst drivers we've seen. Absolutely. I just think he's, like, very mediocre. And if all this desire and passion to get Aston Martin to the very top is real, I'm sorry, I just don't see how he fits in the picture.
No. I'd agree. But so what are your thoughts are?
You know what's going to really wind me up is when people comment saying like, well, obviously he's like Lawrence Stroll's his dad. Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
But like the point is like there's got to come a time where he says...
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. What would your thoughts be? If Max Verstappen joined Aston Martin, do you believe he would bring Aston Martin the success that Lawrence Stroll believes? We know Adrian Newey is there. We know, but you know, say Lance Stroll goes and we've got him, Max Verstappen, Fernando Alonso. Can both those two drivers take Aston Martin to the Constructors and a Drivers' Championship?
I mean, look, I'll say this. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I don't think any of us truly know the impact that a driver has on the development of a car. But let's assume they are able to develop a car that is capable of winning a championship or even capable of winning races, which I know you might think are the same thing, but there are cars that have been capable of winning races that aren't capable of winning championships. I think you give Max Verstappen a car that is capable of just winning races, it automatically becomes a car that's capable of winning championships. So piece number one has to fit. That has to be Aston Martin are in a position where they can create a championship winning car or even a race winning car. At that point, with a race winning car, they don't win a world championship or even a constructors at the moment with the current setup. I know what you're going to say about Fernando Alonso, but look, guys, he's like 43 years old. I'm not saying he couldn't win a world championship still, because I still think, you see him, he's still got it in him. We've spoken about that. But Max Verstappen is currently a completely different level. And Fernando Alonso hasn't won a world championship since 2006, right? You bring Max Verstappen into that team, right, as part two. Yeah, all of a sudden, they look like a force to be reckoned with.
No, I'd agree. I think with Adrian Newey, that was... Part of me would say that's probably a bigger sign-in than someone like Max Verstappen. By the way, before you guys get it wrong, I'm not saying Max Verstappen isn't a big sign-in. He is. He's a massive sign-in. Best driver on the grid. But what I'm saying is Adrian Newey is renowned for designing championship winning cars.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, that's always got to be part one, right? So I think this Max move is likely proposed. Well, I did read the article. Was it for 25 or 26?
Who, Max?
Yeah.
26.
Yeah, so it was for 26. So I think 25 is going to be indicative because, look, none of us are stupid. They're going to be working heavily on the 26 car. There's no point them getting Adrian Newey in and trying to scramble this generation of cars to get a world championship. But ultimately, there are still things that they will be working on with this latest generation of cars. And I think this is going to be an indicative year of actually whether Aston Martin are still taking steps forward.
And I think for Max Verstappen, if these reports are true that, you know, Aston Million... What the hell is what I'm saying? I think for Max Verstappen, if these reports are true that Aston Martin are willing to put in such a hefty, you know, offer for him, it is going to be very important for how Red Bull start the season. If Red Bull start the season really poor, then actually for Max Verstappen, it would be quite like, well, actually, I've got nothing to lose here. You know, so it is very key as well for Aston Martin to, for Red Bull to start well.
I actually respect it as well. Do you know what? If Max made that move, I'd be like, fucking fair play, you know? It would be very easy for him to spend the rest of his career. Which, by the way, his career, Max is still a young man. I can say that because I think he's a little bit younger than me. You know, if he goes on to, like, Fernando Alonso's age, he's still got, like, another... I don't know the maths exactly, sorry. 18 years or something, whatever. Max has got to be, what, 25?
Yeah, around that.
Yeah, so that's an incredibly long time, right? I think, number one, would he want to stay at Red Bull all that time? And I don't think Max will go on to Fernando's time, just because I don't think he's ever shown the desire to be in the sport that long. And I think he's going to have achieved enough to have a, like, you know, a kind of, like, guilt-free conscience once he retires. But I would respect him moving somewhere else. It is safe at Red Bull, right? Red Bull are a really safe team to be at because they're always there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
You know, now, I know, not when they first came into the sport, but not many teams are. But realistically, from 2010, they've been there or thereabouts, right? Even 2009, we were seeing glimpses. So, yeah, you know, he could just remain there. It's very safe. I also wouldn't blame him. But I respect the fact that he is maybe looking at this as like, wow, look at the ambition there. Mm. You know, I've actually seen Adrian Newey leave this team. I've seen Jonathan Wheatley leave this team. We know that they've had other engineers poached. We also have, you know, it's been quite freely documented in the F1 press that a lot of engineers have been sending CVs out.
Mm.
You know, we've heard that from Toto Wolff and George Russell. Oh, you might say it's bullshit mind games, whatever, but let's assume it's true for this, right?
You've got the disruption between Jos Verstappen, Christian Horner, exactly. Helmut Marko, Christian Horner. So many...
There's all of this going on. And he's probably looking at Aston Martin and thinking, pretty cohesive team. You know, they're doing all the right things. There's a lot of investment. Then on top of it, they're going to throw me £1 billion or dollars, whatever the hell it is, over whatever period.
Where do I sign?
Yeah, I'll have some of that, please, because it is a really attractive project. And look, it's kind of similar to Lewis back when he made the switch to Mercedes. Again, a team that were, you know, a lot of money was going into everything. They were making all the right moves. And it was a gamble that paid off. I actually think the Aston Martin one at this point is less of a gamble because of everything they're doing, quite publicly.
Yeah.
No. So I would, if Max moved to Aston Martin, I would respect it and I would understand it.
Yeah, no. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. Right, this next bit of news, I'm excited for this. So South Africa's efforts to bring F1 back to the country have increased, with a formal proposal process which has already started for entry in 2027.
Nice.
So this is great news. Obviously, last time we were there was back in 1993. Can you tell me who won that race?
Yep. It was, wait. It was Damon Hill.
It was Alain Prost. and that was his last championship winning year as well. So I'm buzzing for this. We've said many times that actually we would love to go back to, well, I say we haven't been there in 30 years, but I'd love F1 to go back to South Africa.
I just think it's nice to have another continent. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, I know we've said about the Middle East getting a lot, and particularly America. And I think that's, you know, that's fine, but you're essentially providing it to people that generally have a lot of money anyway. It's like a lot of those Americans, firstly, if you have one race in America, that's fine because traveling in America is a piece of cake anyway, right? But all these people typically have a lot of money. And you've got, I'm sure, a huge portion of African fans in F1 that maybe aren't as fortunate as an American citizen in terms of wealth and everything, right? If we can provide that continent a race, how sick would that be?
I would love it. And I really would.
And also the fact that we get to watch it elsewhere, I think it's just maximizing like its sort of span around the world would be quality.
If you've listened to this podcast for however long, you would know, you know, we've discussed, haven't we, you know, what tracks we'd like to get rid of, where we would love to bring back. But South Africa has always been one where we've always said we would love to see it. So if reports are true and they're close to signing a deal for 2027, I'm all for it. Do let me know what your thoughts are on it, though. Right.
It's not a quiz, is it?
It's not a quiz.
That's like the look on your face.
Not a quiz. So Lewis Hamilton and Angela Cullen reunion. If you haven't seen this, there's been reports that they have been skiing together last week. And there's been some pictures that have been posted. Is she coming back to the sport? Is she going to be coming back with Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari? We don't know yet. However, there were some little clues. I don't know if you've seen a picture of her ski suit. Is that what they call it? Ski suit? Whatever. It was red. And in the background, right, I'm going to show you this.
Therefore, it must be true.
It must be true.
It's happening.
Tell me the number in the back of this.
44.
Which is?
Lewis's number.
Exactly. It's happening. She's coming back.
I don't necessarily think that's true. I think it's just friends going skiing.
Yeah.
It was always, there was all this speculation that when she left, it was because they had fallen out. Mm. They'd had a big fallout. And that's always the way with anything, you know, like, I'll use my very minor example in comparison. When we stopped waffling, right? That was because we fell out. That's because we had a massive argument. But it wasn't. But that's what everyone assumed it must be like. Oh, they don't want to do it anymore. They must have fallen out. No, like sometimes you just go different ways in life, right? And I'm sure that's what happened here. So I'm sure they've just gone on holiday together. You've got to remember how close these guys were for a long time. It was probably a nice catch-up, but I'm not saying that means it's not going to happen. Like, it absolutely could. I'm not sure I'd put my money on it.
But how good would that be? You know, Angela had spent so much success with Lewis Hamilton during Mercedes that actually...
I just don't think it really makes a difference.
Well, you don't know that, do you? You don't know, because...
Was she like his lucky pants or something? It's just like, Angela Cullen coming back, you know, to work within... His inner circle team. I don't think that's going to give me any more confidence that he's going to win a championship or win more races.
But for him, it may be a fact that he's going to a whole new team. He doesn't know everyone. Having that, you know, familiar face might be quite nice.
It might be nice for him. Yeah, no, I don't dispute that. You know, it might be, but. Also, we'll see. Do you know what else is quite nice for him? The fact that he's earning like 60 mil a year.
Yeah.
The fact that he is 40 years old and hasn't got a wrinkle on his face. The fact that he's a good-looking bastard. The fact that he gets to drive F1 cars for a living. The fact that now he's probably given free Ferraris. Do you know, he's got a lot of things going for him.
Are you okay?
I'm not sure Angela Cullen is the thing that I would think, oh, that's nice.
Are you okay? What? I'm worried about you today. You seem quite triggered.
No, I'm just saying.
Nice for it to come back.
Oh, it's quite nice, but like he's got... I'm sure he probably looks at it and he thinks, actually, I've got quite a lot of nice things. You're talking about him going to Ferrari and it being...
I'm only talking about something that actually, as a driver, having something familiar around, especially in a new setting, might actually be quite nice. That's all I'm saying.
It might be comforting to him.
Crikey, guys. You know, you've been reading too many comments on YouTube.
Why are you getting upset?
I don't know why you're getting so upset. Anyway...
Well, I'm making a valid point. I think, you know, that, to me, it might help his, like, homesickness, if that's something that he gets. I don't, you know, we talk about this, oh, Lewis leaving Mercedes, he's not going to be in the UK anymore. He probably spends like 1% of his time
this he's always
like,
in Monaco.
Like, he's in Monaco, he's in New York, he's in LA. Like, he's all over the place. Like, I'm not necessarily sure he's someone at this point that gets homesick.
Okay, Luke doesn't want Angela back. Right, do let us know what your thoughts are on it though.
It just bears no relevance to me. Well, like, if she comes back, cool. If she does, cool. Did I say if she does twice? If she does or if she doesn't, fine. My point is it doesn't necessarily give me any more confidence in... I'd rather a news story that is like, Ferrari have done something to their engine that is like 100 horsepower quicker than everyone else.
Okay, so that's the next story. I'm joking, stop. Right. Helmut Marko admits signing. This one signing was his biggest mistake in charge of the Red Bull's Formula One driver program. Luke, can you tell me which driver you think it was?
Was it signing him to the program?
Yeah.
Okay. Did this person ever race in F2?
Yeah.
Did this person ever race in F1?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. It was Danny Kvyat.
Nope.
That was harsh. I didn't mean to say that. What I actually meant to say was I don't know.
Good. It was Nick De Vries.
I should have known that.
Yeah.
I really should have known that.
Did you know that he drove for them? He said, my biggest mistake, there's no doubt about it, that's Nick De Vries. Brutal, may I say. He said...
Imagine that is class if you're Nick De Vries waking up and reading that. It's probably like, great night's sleep. Rolls out of bed, little stretch, picks up his foot. Oh, fuck. Instant, just like, feels like a loser for the rest of the day. Well, he shouldn't. No. You know, he's a very successful boy.
Yeah. Helmut Marko said he did very well on his debut for Williams in Monza, but once he was at AlphaTauri, he didn't make any progress. He had an incredible track record. He said he was a Formula 2 champion, and he also won the championship in Formula E. But with us, the stopwatch said that Nick was the wrong choice, and in an attempt to go faster, he just made mistakes. Which is fair. You know.
This could be my point that I was making about Colapinto.
Let's move on from Colapinto.
But are they like synonymous?
Could be.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, someone that looked quick at Williams.
I think Colapinto showed more than Nick De Vries in his nine races.
I mean, basically five. Nick De Vries obviously only had one race.
Sorry, his 56% of races that Colapinto did.
He did only have, the one race? It was Monza, wasn't it, Nick De Vries?
Yeah. And then he raced how many races for AlphaTauri?
No, I know, but I'm talking about he had one race and then he was...
Yeah.
Then it was like, oh, we'll stick him in the AlphaTauri next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that did turn out to be a mistake, but, you know, granted, Helmut Marko has a great talent ID, right? There's no denying that. But that one did go wrong.
Yeah.
But we did all think it was a good...
Yeah, it
was a good acquisition at the time.
At the time, we both said that actually...
Makes sense.
Yeah. You know, he's been around. He did F2, did Formula E. He did a great race in Monza with Williams.
He was part of that Mercedes team for a fair while as
well. We thought it was a good choice. So, you know, what do we know, eh?
Well, exactly.
Absolutely nothing. Right. Do let us know whether you think that is pretty harsh by Helmut Marko.
Now it's a quiz.
Nope, it's not. Audi have officially completed its full acquisition of La Sauber F1 team, marking a significant milestone in its ambitions planned to enter F1 as a constructor in 2026. So it was originally set to conclude in 2025 with a 75% stake. The deal has been expedited, with Audi achieving 100% ownership of Sauber on January the 1st. So already taken over.
So does that mean they're going to race as Audi?
No, there'll still be Sauber this year. But Audi next year, 2026, will be Audi. So they're still sticking with the same thing.
Confusing. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it because... Oh, do you know what? I actually reckon I know why they're not going to run under the Audi name this year.
Why?
Because the car's going to stink. And so if they run as fresh. Audi, it's going to look like Audi suck. When really, it's the Sauber that sucks.
Yep.
And then 2026 is fresh slate. It's all them. Then put your stamp on it.
Yep. We'll see. Toto Wolff has been in the news this week, and he was asked, can Hamilton win a world title with Ferrari this year?
God help me, Toto, what have you said?
So, he has said that actually last year's car and the 2025 car, he believes have not suited, well, Mercedes last year and Ferrari, this actual era of cars. So
why did he specify 2024?
So he said...
read the quote out.
Okay, it says, former team boss does not seem to think that this will happen in 2025, the last year of the current ground effect cars that he believes have not suited Hamilton's driving style. So he said, this generation of car doesn't suit Lewis. He brakes late and drives the car aggressively into the corners. The car and the tyres sometimes don't forgive that. It's more noticeable in qualifying than in the race. There have been many other factors involved, and I don't think his head was already on his new team. Lewis is too professional for that. I just don't think he will be able to win a title this year with these actual cars, with this era of cars.
Okay, so he's basically saying, do you know what? And I think that's actually a fair comment, because we have seen that.
Mm.
That's not something that Lewis hasn't demonstrated, and. Yeah. It's often been spoken about, you know, perhaps more recently, that, yeah, it is his driving style. And everyone knows that Lewis's greatest asset has always been his ability to brake late and aggressively into the corners, right? That's where he's always found most of his time. And there has also been a lot of things, you know, said from a lot of, like, the data guys yeah. that understand it, that... What Toto is saying is accurate. You know, these cars don't allow for that. They are unforgiving. And it would explain all the qualifying issues. I guess one thing that maybe surprised me is I thought we'd be able to adapt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm sure to some extent he has, because... Despite him coming out and saying, I'm just slow or whatever, he's not slow. No. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is still a very quick driver, and he still did go, you know, the year before, 2023 was a really good year for him.
Mm.
2024 wasn't bad. He still got wins. So, yeah, I think that's a fair point. But I also think if you put Lewis in, say, the Red Bull of Max Verstappen in 2023, he would have won the championship. Yeah. So I think it still comes down to the fact that if he has got a car that is capable of winning, he will win.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm trying to find a quote, so you may have to bear with me a second. So last week, here we go. So this kind of goes back to what we discussed last week about the greatest of all time, and what does that mean, and is Lewis greatest statistically, and all of this stuff. There was a comment which said, ground effect era, Max Verstappen, turbo yeah. hybrid era, Hamilton, V10 era, Schumacher, and et cetera, et cetera. And it is interesting, isn't it? Because when we spoke last week about who, you know, who's the greatest of all time, Lewis Hamilton, for example, this current era... He has struggled. Mm-hmm. Granted, Mercedes have also struggled with producing a good car. But Red Bull have smashed this era.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, there's certain drivers who suit certain eras, and it'd be interesting to see when we go into 2026 with that type of era who actually comes out on top, because it may not suit Max Verstappen. Whereas when you look back at like the V10 times, Schumacher was always there, you know. So it's going to be very interesting to see whether this year it's due to Mercedes being so bad, or is it just actually Lewis Hamilton cannot deal with this type of
car? Yeah, and that is... But do you know what? That's kind of symbolic of the sport a little bit, where I will die on a hill saying that it takes the right driver to have the right car in order to have these dominant periods, right? So I agree with what this guy is saying. You could maybe look at the best of all times in terms of eras. And I think that's probably quite a clever way to look at it. But then you do have to take in to fact the nature of the sport, and that, you know, if Lewis had not made the move to McLaren, would he be in that conversation? If, you know, Max, I won't say got lucky, but because he obviously absolutely didn't. Like, he earned his spot in the Red Bull, but he got lucky in the sense that he was at Red Bull when they cracked it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And, you know, we're continuing into the ground effect era. The next generation of cars are still ground effect. How different will they be?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do hope that Lewis is able to just, you know, slightly adapt his driving style so it suits, or Ferrari are able to provide him with a car that actually suits his driving style, because in an ideal world, you know, he doesn't have to adapt, because we know that's why he's so quick.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Just talking, because I like seeing the comments, and actually they're quite good discussion points.
Mm-hmm.
This one was on TikTok, and it said, since Lewis started F1, he has been a force to be reckoned with. Battles against Raikkonen, Alonso, Massa, Rosberg, and his ability to consistently deliver in what makes Lewis one of the greatest. Yeah, I can't disagree with that. He is one of the greatest. As we said last week, greatest of all time. Well, I think that's quite subjective, really, isn't it? And in the sense of who you believe, you know, we said last week, you may think Verstappen is the greatest. You may think that Schumacher is, you know, Senna, all of these drivers. But Lewis, he has gone up against some very, very good drivers.
Lewis has had some iconic battles.
Yeah, and that's even including Max Verstappen in 2021. And I know a lot of people say, well, Max came out on top. Yes, what the record books show, he has come out on top. We know a bit different. we're fine with it. We've moved on. But what's your thought on that? Do you also look at it in the sense of who you're driving against in that time?
I mean, I guess to some extent, you know, Lewis really has had some battles with some pretty like legendary drivers. Mm. You know, in his first season going toe-to-toe with Alonso, his teammate, but also Kimi Raikkonen. Mm. He got away of Massa, and then there were some lovely, lovely battles in their sort of 2010 to 2013 period with, you know, Seb, Alonso. It only really like stopped happening, I guess, when Rosberg left.
Mm.
Lewis had that little period of, I guess, what, 18, 19, 20, or 17, 18, 19, 20, where there was really not much challenging him. No. But yeah, I don't think we can forget all the times Lewis actually really like went head to head with everyone. Sometimes with like not a great car. Some of those McLarens that he had to drive were really not good. Some were, and you know, and I think we can look at these Mercedes. Some of these Mercedes were also not good, because it's all well and good talking about Lewis and his driving style, the car hasn't suited him, but George hasn't necessarily done any better than Lewis. You know, over their time at the team together, Lewis had had scored more points than him.
Yeah.
So I stand by the fact that if you give Lewis a car that is capable of winning, he will drive it to a P1.
Yeah. No, I agree. There was a comment which was, I wish I could find it, because it's basically saying, well, it's fine when you have the fastest car. And yes, yeah, okay. Mean, it but helps. You still need to deliver in the fastest car. And that goes for Max, Schumacher, you know, all of these drivers.
So Sergio Perez had the fastest car.
Yeah.
You know.
Look what he did.
Yeah, where was he? Oh, he's always catching strays, I'm sorry. But
yeah, leave him alone.
He's gone. The Max,
he's on a sabbatical. Give him a break.
Yeah, true. He's chosen to take a holiday. Yep. I do think I would like to see Max actually have more battles, because I don't care like which way you look at it. The last few years have been absolutely a breeze for him, and that part of that is because of how good he is
and how good that car's been.
But yeah, a huge part of it is also like how far ahead Red Bull have been, literally since 2022.
Yeah,
talk about the Charles battle or whatever. Yeah, that was great. If that persisted throughout the rest of that season and then into 2023, great. And then if maybe the McLaren was capable of winning from race one last season, great. But Max hasn't had a challenge. You know, the closest it really got was this year.
Yeah.
But I think he had it under control the whole way. So 2025... I think could be another close challenge for Max Verstappen. I think we do need to see him go head to head with more people. And I don't mean that in the sense where like he needs to slow down so he can race him. I mean, like once we've got cars that are a little bit level,
and
we get to see him have more head to head battles with people.
Agreed. Right. Who should Cadillac sign for 2026? This is an interesting one. I want to hear from you guys at home on this, because there's a few drivers out there who are maybe not in the sport. They don't have a seat. You know, they're currently maybe a reserve driver. So you've got people like Bottas, Joel, Perez. You know, you've even got, when you look at the IndyCar side of it, you know, Colton Herta. Apparently I didn't realise this, but he was actually close to getting a seat in AlphaTauri a few years back, but he missed out because he didn't have enough super licence points. However, he is close to getting those now. So we could potentially see them. So I want to hear from you, Luke. If you're Cadillac coming into the sport, who are you looking at to sign?
In 2026?
Yeah.
It could be a completely different scene. You know? This is human. I have access to anyone, because what I don't want to do is say something and then someone be like, oh, but he's contracted to this is hypothetical.
Okay,
I can have anyone.
Yeah.
I would probably try and look to poach Carlos Sainz from Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
You really think Williams are gonna let him go?
Well, sometimes it's not necessarily their choice.
Interesting.
If they can pay him out of a contract, it depends how attractive they make.
Yeah.
But I just think if they come into this, I'm looking at who's easy to lure away, right? Out of the best drivers on the grid, Carlos Sainz is going to be the easiest to lure away, because Cadillac coming into the sport are not going to be able to lure away someone from Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren, Red Bull.
See, I disagree, because I think Carlos Sainz is in a perfect place for him now to really move forward with a team. He's not going to want to leave a project to go to another project.
But what if the project is more attractive?
Well, no, I still can't see that happening. I think if you're Cadillac...
So you think it's easier to lure away Charles Leclerc from Ferrari?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think if you're... This is a new team coming into the grid, and actually it is going to be very difficult for them to lure bigger drivers. No, so starting off with
that's what but I'm saying Carlos Sainz is the easiest big driver to lure.
But what I'm saying is I don't think he would leave.
No, I mean chances are, but I mean
mate, he's in a contract.
But I should be allowed to pick somebody, okay, and then all right, hypothetically not have him say no to me.
Okay, well okay. Hypothetically you've got Carlos Sainz. Who else are you going for?
Uh Probably a young boy. I would, do you know what? I would keep tabs on Paul Aaron this year.
Yeah. Good shout.
Because I think he had a great season in F2.
Interesting. See, if you're, for me, if you're Cadillac coming in,
Logan Sargeant, the old American.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you've got the IndyCar scene. You could do that as well. I would even give someone like Drogovic a go. He doesn't seem to be going anywhere with Aston Martin. You know, he potentially an option. I would actually still go for someone like a Bottas, like a Perez. Yes, okay, Perez, his time with Red Bull was
salty. Did you say Perez?
No, I would, simply because he is an experienced driver within the sport. And for Cadillac coming in, they would need a bit of stability just to get them in and up and running. And actually, there's no one better than the likes of Bottas or Perez to actually do that. So, yeah, I can never see Perez at a top team again, but I potentially could see them at Cadillac maybe, you know, starting them off with.
I do get the logic of what you're saying. I'm not sure Perez would be my choice.
No.
I'm not even sure Bottas would be my choice, to be honest. I think I'd probably look, you know, like what Audi have done, getting a Hülkenberg in. Mm. You know, someone that is still, he showed this season that he's got a lot of fight in him, yeah, and he's still got pace. Bottas and Perez showed a bit of the opposite. Perez on like a different level to Bottas. I mean, Bottas was obviously stuck with a stinker car. So it is hard to sort of understand where his pace is truly at. Mm. But yeah, maybe look at one of the sort of middle-aged boys. Middle-aged in terms of F1 age. Mm. Are one of those teams.
Yeah. No, interesting. Do let us know. Who do you think would be the perfect pairing to start off, you know, Cadillac's, you know, future in F1? Do let us know what you think. Haas. I have to say, obviously, we were very impressed with what Haas have done this year, finishing P7. And I think it's even more impressive than what's come out. So obviously, we know they've got a new partnership with Toyota heading into 2025. And, you know, they were spoken to the other day about, you know, difficulties they found last year. Did you know they only had 10 to 15 days in the wind tunnel?
Was it the wind tunnel?
Yeah.
Oh, I read it as like
a simulator. Sorry, simulator. Yeah, simulator, not wind tunnel. Simulator. Obviously, they were
borrowed. I thought it was 10 to 15 hours.
No, so this is what it says. Ayo Komatsu spoke candidly about the importance of this deal with Toyota. He said, "With Toyota, they can help us in many areas, like CFD, aerodynamics, composite design, testing, simulator. So many areas where bigger teams are all doing it by themselves." He then went on to say, let's take the simulator. We use a Ferrari simulator, but that's in Italy. We probably only used it for about 10 to 15 days a year. So you've got to really commend Komatsu with how he's led that team. 10 to 15 days a year in a simulator for your team to get P7 in the constructors is a very impressive return.
I would argue that's more impressive by the drivers than him, be honest.
But that's what I mean. I mean, Haas as a whole, you know, the team, yeah.
No, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that team is kind of, you know, I always feel sorry for Haas because I feel like they really just, it's quite evident that they don't have the proper infrastructure. And, you know, if they did, or were able, I understand it's expensive and they're not like Mercedes, do you know what I mean? Or a Ferrari that have these huge funds behind them. But if they did just have a little bit more, it could be a very different story for them.
No, I agree. I agree.
I do just want to make you aware that camera is very low on battery.
Is that your one?
Yes.
Brilliant. Good.
So I would,
you only have a week to charge it, but anyway.
Power through.
Okay, right. Carlos Sainz has been described as a technical driver who will be great help to Williams in climbing the standings. So one of the engineers was spoken to after his test in Abu Dhabi, and they said, you literally felt as soon as he came in, it was just like a different level. He said, Carlos Sainz is a blessing for the team and will help follow a precise development path for 2025. and we said this, haven't we? Carlos Sainz going to Williams, huge amount of knowledge, huge amount of experience, racing for a top team like Ferrari, it's only going to be great for Williams.
Yeah, and we said it's a great cop because they only got him because, unfortunately for him, Lewis Hamilton became available. And, you know, Carlos didn't lose his seat at Ferrari because he was a bad driver. He just lost it because one of the greatest ever drivers got the call up. Yeah. And that's the cruel nature of the sport. So, yeah, Williams, biggest winners out of that.
Toto Wolff has confirmed that Mercedes will continue with a black livery for 2025.
I mean, that's just, it just looks better. Let's be honest, like, it does just look better. I mean, when they say black, it was kind of black and silver this year. Mm. Are they talking like 2023 black? I mean, that car looked cool.
Well, I'm not being funny. He didn't tell me what the livery is going to look like. He just told me that it's going to confirm with a black livery.
Selfish.
Yeah, well, I did call him. I said, look, what's happening? He said, look, I can't tell you. You'll have to wait until the 18th of February for the car launch. So I was like, okay.
When is it?
I believe it's the 18th of February.
Oh, but there, I actually read something about Mercedes and their car launch. They're not doing one. They're not like revealing the W16.
Okay.
They're revealing the W16 livery, but it won't be on a W16. It'll be on the W15.
Oh.
What the hell are they hiding? Have they?
No side pods.
Have they thought of something? Yeah. Well, that'd be unique, revolutionary, in fact. Yeah, like, have they? I know cars don't reveal, before you start like piping up, I know cars, teams don't tend to reveal like the car in full, do you know what I mean? But they normally do put it on a new car. Yeah. But it's been said that they
I think a couple of teams are going to be doing that.
They will not be revealing it at all.
Okay. Right, I've got a quiz for you.
Okay, let's squeeze this in and then we're going to have to go.
Right, guess the driver. I'm going to give you the date they first came in, and we'll work down to see how you got. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Let's
nine,
just do
nine questions. No, there's nine questions potentially you can go to before you guess the driver.
Oh, bloody hell! Right, how many drivers we got?
Five. It won't take that long because you're going to be really knowledgeable, aren't you? Right, this driver, his first year in F1, 2001.
Are these people in the sport now?
They're on the grid last year.
Oh, that's got to be Alonso.
Well done. Right, this driver came in 2010.
Hülkenberg.
Well done. This driver came in 2018. You're not even having to use any of the other lives. It's impressive.
Oh, 2018. Carlos? No.
No? Do you want the next clue?
No, because I stopped myself before.
Well,
I was still.
I can just keep giving you clues.
No, I should be allowed to think out loud. 2018. Lando.
No. World Championships, zero.
How the fuck does that help me?
Wins, 8.
Charles.
Well done. Right, this driver came in 2022.
Who came into the new era of cars? Oh. First ever time in F1.
Yep.
Okay. Well, because K-Mag came
in. Yeah, well, I can't tell you, but you already said K-Mag, so it's not going to be him again, is it?
I haven't said K-Mag.
Well, you have, because he was the second one of the drivers.
I said Hülkenberg.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, you did, yeah, fair play.
Do you want the next? Fair play, sorry.
Do you want the next clue?
No, I want time to actually think about this.
Okay.
2022. You know when you just forget?
Yeah.
Everything.
Okay.
No, I don't want to hear it.
Well, you are.
Well, no.
World Championship.
Well, he hasn't got any World Championships. I know he hasn't because he came into the sport in 2002.
Wins, I know zero.
No, I know exactly who it is.
Who?
Well, if you stopped talking, I'd be able to actually think and tell you exactly why it's this person who is called Oscar Piastri.
No, top threes, zero.
Oh, you already said win zero. Obviously, it's not Oscar Piastri. But he did come in 2022.
Yeah.
I think this is a trick question.
Overall points, 16.
Guan Yu Zhou.
Well done. Well done.
See, right. If you'd actually just shut up and let me think about that for a second, I would have got that much quicker, because I was trying to go through the grid in my head and you kept yapping away. It was breaking my train of thought.
The issue is, your decisions took longer than actually what we spoke about in the podcast. Right, final one. This driver came in 2017.
That could actually be Lando.
No. World Championships, 0.
Yeah, obviously. Well, it's a year too late for Max.
Wins, 0.
Yeah, but I didn't ask.
Okay, well, that's...
Do you know what I mean? Oh, Lance Stroll.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done. That is the end of the podcast. Well done.
We made it.
Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. Please check us out on all social media. If you're watching on YouTube, hit a like, subscribe if you're new. Leave some nice comments. It is nice when we get some nice comments.
It is always nicer when they're nice.
Yeah, because Luke does get upset. Do check us out on TikTok, Twitter. As I said before, we have some big things coming. So hopefully we'll be able to reveal, hopefully over the next few weeks. But we'll be back next week for a brand new podcast. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. There's going to be more news to talk about. Don't worry, we're bringing you content, we're finding things to discuss, and we'll be back. So have a great week, and we shall see you later. Bye-bye.